We're looking at Matthew chapter 28. The full verses are here up on the screen. And just follow along in your heart with me if you would. Then the disciples went home to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always." Let's pray. Lord, we stand right now because we want to stand on your word in all of this week. Everything we want to do, we want to stand firm and strong, not tired, not weary, Lord, but filled with the passion of why we live and why you've given us the days on this earth you've given us. Because, Lord, we're part of your mission to go and make disciples. Lord, to bring people into your family and to rescue the hurting and bring joy to the lost and the discouraged. Lord, we come today not to visit your presence, but to allow your presence to go home with us in a new and powerful way. Lord, we want to take this great commission and we want it to be in our homes, whether we're with roommates, whether we are families, whether we're empty nesters or singles. Lord, we want to take your presence and we want to go back to our Galilee, our home, and we want to worship you there. We want to make disciples in our home and we want to make disciples through our home. So Lord, would you right now fill us with your Holy Spirit and guide us in what is shared so that, Lord, we would come away with a greater longing and a greater understanding of how to be filled with the joy of the Great Commission in our lives. The words you gave us, the mission and assignment, let every student, from every college student, as they apply this, going to their dorm rooms and their apartments, on and off campus, to every professional, to every parent, Father, today is the day you've given us. You've given us this word. For Lord, you want to go before us by the glory of your presence. And Father, you want your blessing to be on every home and house and dorm room and apartment. Lord, we ask that you guide us in these things. Holy Spirit, come and show us the power of your word this morning. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we shared that there is great joy in the Great Commission. Last week, we shared about our trip to Ethiopia and the joy it was to cross barriers and to go new places and to dare to say, "Lord, you've given me this time. You've given me the ability to stretch. I want to go and I want to help someone else to know you and become not just a decider for you, but a disciple of yours." This week, we've been praying for our family missions trip as they have been serving in Asheville, and families have been learning together in this way what it is to be on mission. You can go today at 3 o'clock at Shady Hill. You can come here at 2 if you want to get an introduction, a little orientation to Shady Hill. And as a family, that's what our family does. We go as families. And we use that because there's a joy that only the Great Commission brings in life. And what we said last week was that joy is hidden from this world. Matthew 13 tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And the only way you find that joy is you get on mission. You make it your mission to give all you've got to give so that you can find the treasure of living for Jesus and drawing other people to Jesus in the world that God has given you to be a part of. It's not easy to miss that joy. It can be hidden from you and from most of the world. And so what we're talking about is that the foundation of a home that lives in the joy and the purpose of the Great Commission, that foundation is worship. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it's on the front of your bulletin, Jesus taught that worship comes first, and it naturally leads to his mission. When Jesus told us to pray, he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May it be revered and feared and honored and great worth assigned to it. It's worship. And when we worship him, the next natural thing that happens is, well, your kingdom come, your will be done. So if we're going to be people who live in the joy and the mission of Jesus, then we've got to have worship as our foundation. And really what we want to talk about this morning is we want to talk about how do we discover the hidden treasure of home worship. And notice I use the word hidden, because most of us think what? I can't sing. I don't sing at home. I don't sing in front of my kids. I don't sing. Well, it's kind of hidden to us because we've kind of taken one form of worship and really said worship is at church on Sunday mornings, and we've forgotten that the great joy of worship really is to be found in our homes. And so today is a little bit more of a teaching time, because I want us to hear the call that Jesus certainly had intended when he gave the Great Commission, and as you'll see, is certainly throughout the Scripture, that worship belongs in our houses. Can somebody say amen? And for all of us non-singers, take heart. There's good news. So we have to begin with, what is worship? Of course, through the Hebrew words we find in the Psalms especially, worship is the bending and bowing before God's great and holy presence. It's saying, all I am, my agenda, my money, my personality, my dating life, my family life, my career, it all bends to you because you are greater than all these things. That's what worship is. When we, in everything we are, allow God and acknowledge that God is greater than who we are. So home worship, it's not that complicated. Home worship is experiencing God's great and loving presence as a family or an individual, guess what, in your home. Now, when we talk about home worship, we're certainly going to make a lot of statements that have to do with families. And yet, I want all of us here to understand that home worship is for the single person. Home worship is for the person who's the only Christian in their house. Home worship is for the empty nesters who don't have kids at home. They still home worship. God calls us in our homes to worship him. And so we're going to look at this idea of home worship as experiencing God's great and loving presence as a family or an individual in your home. And we're going to try to be careful, not just to kind of give you a definition and kind of just a stale way of doing it, but we're going to kind of talk a few sides of it so you begin to get a sense of what it might look like in your home. So maybe the best way to talk about it, since most of us think of worship as a church service in which there is music, maybe the best way to talk about it is, well, how do you know when worship has happened? How do you know when it's happened in your home? Well, here are a few thoughts. When God's living presence becomes the focus of your family. Now, in my family, we have a disease called, if the TV is on, I can't not look at it. Okay, that's just the disease we have in our home. It becomes the focus automatically. When that thing's on, we all look at it. And what would happen if God's presence got that kind of focus? It just became the focus all of a sudden of what we were doing. Number two, when who God is changed who you and your family are. When has worship happened? When something has changed because of God, who God is. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot today is that family worship is hard when your attitudes are bad, right? So a lot of us avoid family worship because it feels like being a hypocrite because our attitudes are all bad. Of course, that's an interesting logic. It's like, I'm not going to take my medicine because I'm sick. You know, that's kind of the logic we're employing at that moment. really, worship is a way to keep our attitudes in check and recognize when they need to change. So, when I'm at my home and I know I've had a lousy attitude, I know I've reflected a lousy attitude to the people around me, and yet it comes time for home worship, something has to change. And so we let home worship be that place that reflects back to us how we're doing instead of hiding home worship and avoiding it. And then three, when God's presence gives you a new perspective and hope for life. There are a lot of times, especially midweek, that we are just under all that we have to do and what our schedules are like. And we just need, and then God comes in and we have a fresh perspective and we're not as overwhelmed and we remember the truth about things and we remember God's in control. And like Psalm 100 said, we are his people. We're not out there by ourselves. And so I think those ideas of focus, of change, and of perspective, of hope, one of the things we're going to have to be careful of here is we get religious about family worship. And so it becomes about, we're going to do it, and I'm really frustrated that you're not doing it right, so you need to do it right now. Okay, we got it done. We haven't accomplished worship. Because worship makes me finish like, that was good. And I kind of, a little better with everybody around me. I think we all feel a little better, feel a little closer. So we're, in one sense, I don't want to get too far into feeling language, but there's something that says we've been refreshed because of what just happened. And of course, I'll tell on myself, I kind of am the person, I don't know if you are the person, that, when God wants me to do something, I get frustrated with people if they don't do it with me. Right? And so even when we were on our trip, during the missions trip, I'd be like, come on, it's family devotion time. And so-and-so is not paying attention, someone hasn't read yet, and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm going to turn into, I'm getting frustrated at you. It's like, no, that's not the point of family devotion time. That's not the point of worship. And so it's control issues in me or whatever. It's like, I need to, hey, don't forget what this is about. This is about just, why isn't everybody doing what God wants us to do? Right? That kind of squashed family worship pretty quick when we have that attitude. So we've got to learn to remember what we're looking for in family worship. And we need to do that. I think it's easy to do as spouses. You ever finally get up the courage to pray with your spouse or like bring God into the conversation because you really feel like you need to, and the other person's just not quite there with you and almost frustrates you. And it's like, no, I just need to have a faith, hope, and love kind of attitude towards what I'm bringing into the relationships of my home. So what we're going to say is this. We're going to say, look, there are many different ways for home worship to look, but there's no substitute for it. So what we're going to say is it's not about a particular vocal ability, and it's not a particular personality type. But let's also be careful not to make excuses not to do it. Because just because we aren't a certain type, and maybe our family isn't a traditional family, or our home situation isn't, I don't know if I can do this, like the Baldwins and their perfect little kids who are so cute and all the ways they love Jesus. We're not all like that. That's totally a compliment. Just because it doesn't look like that, or maybe we're past that stage of life that is kind of like the one that seems like the most obvious to do this with, let's not make an excuse that we're not doing it because there's no substitute for it. And so we've got to look at that together. So you'll see what Joshua 24, this is a scripture we love. Joshua 24, Joshua says, now fear, reverence, the word hallowed is basically the same vein as that, the Lord, and serve him. And that word in Hebrew is used often for the word worship. And you'll notice in the language, he's obviously referring to what we worship because the next line he says, throw away the gods of your forefathers that they worshiped beyond the river, and serve the Lord. And then he says, look, choose for yourself. And let's think about this. Let's think about what Joshua is implying by this verse. Choose for yourself this day whom you will worship.
In other words, what? All of you in your home are absolutely worshiping something. It's not a, I guess maybe saying a little better, it's not an issue of if home worship is happening, it's just who's the worship going to? Choose who you're going to worship. Make an intentional thought that let's worship the Lord. But as for me and my household, we will worship the Lord. And I tell you, as a pastor, there are times I've in this really been thinking about the idea of, Lord, have I done a good enough job as a pastor of telling my people it's got to be at the home? I mean, that's kind of the everyday language we use. We're implying every day you're at your house. But I want us to be careful. This needs to happen in our homes. So how do we worship at home? We're very tempted to take the structure of worship we have here at church and say that's worship. But we see in Acts chapter 2, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, the disciples received their food. And here are the two hallmarks of family worship: thankfulness and generous hearts, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And notice what happened when those two hallmarks of worship were happening in their homes. Well, the Great Commission was just automatically happening then. And the Lord added to their number day by day. We want worship at home should be generating thankfulness, thanks for what God has done, and praise. Praise for who God is. So sometimes who God is not what God has done in us in this season. We don't have the circumstance of that thing. That's why it's important to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Self, choose to praise for who he is, even though my circumstances right now, I can't give thanks for that being true. So we have to have thanksgiving, and we have to have praise. And when those things are happening in our home, God will be being worshiped. Now, I want to go back to the idea of it being hidden. Because a lot of the way we talk to one another at home is not good. We're whiny, we're complaining. You can just lift your hands right now if you'd like to identify. We're whiny, we're complaining, we're self-centered, we're very self-pity, nobody understands what kind of day I've had, all those kind of things going on. And so the idea of taking time in the middle of our week and then giving thanks and praise to God is very hidden to us. And so we have to choose to let God's presence change two things in our home: our attitudes and our atmosphere. So when we say yes to having home worship, we're challenging the prevailing spiritual atmosphere of our home. And just to be encouraged, let's not forget we came out of a summer of faith that told us, well, faith is being sure of what's hidden to you. When you don't see it, still choose it. Because there, God's going to bestow a blessing. So Psalm 100 shows us what home worship should be about. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness. There's that thankfulness idea. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Get ready, you read the underlined words. Enter his gates with, and his courts with, what's next? To him and, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There are those two characteristics again. When I worship God, there's thanksgiving, and there's praise. So these are the things I'm looking to get to at my home. And so Psalm 100 gives us five characteristics of worship that hopefully will help you and I as we think about what does it look like to have home worship. As a single, as the only Christian in my house, as a parent with very varying ages of kids or as a couple with no kids at our home? What does it look like? Well, verse 1 tells us to shout for joy to the Lord. It's basically saying it's something people should hear. It's something that should be noticed, that is tangible. Now, there are wonderful moments for solitude and silent prayer, and that's great. But worship is our way of shouting back to the world the greatness of God when the world is always shouting to us that he does not exist. Worship is our way of speaking out the truth that God is good and he reigns when everything in our world seems to say to us, God isn't with you, God doesn't care, you don't matter. Worship is that moment when we use our words the way the Father used the words in Genesis 1 to create the world. I'm guessing he could have just thought it into being, but God chose to speak it, and when he spoke it into existence, it existed. And we need to understand that although we're many different personality types and family dynamics in our home, we need to speak out the goodness and the greatness of God. It needs to be heard in our homes that we are thankful, not that, whoo, you know, I passed the test or the money. We need to say, I'm thankful God provided and was faithful. We need to speak words that even though when we're on TV and whatever amount of social media you absorb today that basically told you that God is not true, that he is not faithful, that he is not real, that his ways aren't important, we need in our home to have praise that is heard that says, God is righteous and holy. It needs to be heard because you've heard all the opposite all day long, whether it's come through your ears or just what you've taken in. So Psalm 100 instructs us to let it be heard. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, to be thankful. A lot of us don't have a difficult time being thankful when we're watching our favorite team on TV and all of a sudden they break through and they're winning. I mean, no one has to tell us at this point you should be expressive. Why? Because it's just natural to us to give thanks or praise for something we're hoping for. And so we want worship gives thanks. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 3, remind us who God is. God, remind me who you are again. The world's telling me all these other things about who you are. God, you're compassionate and slow to anger. So when people in the world say, well, if God exists, where is he? Why hasn't he done something by now? Well, the scripture tells me that God's patient, not slow like the world thinks, not non-existent because he just doesn't dominate and make everybody do everything he wants. But God, your word tells me you're something very different. And I need to remember and praise you for that. Because if you weren't that way, I'd be toast. Because you've been patient with me. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. We want to get into his presence. Gates, courts, what's that about? Moving closer to where God is. Not just being on the outside of the gates, not just kind of being in the courtyard, but all the way to his very holy presence. We want to get into his presence. So what we need to remember in home worship is the goal is his presence. The goal isn't, you know, little Jimmy, would you stop moving around and just pay attention? That's not the goal. The goal is his presence. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Notice how worship leads to what? God's faithfulness. God, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful in what you call me to do. I want to be faithful to see your kingdom come, your will be done. Faithfulness is where what it produces in us. Faithfulness to keep going the right way for the Lord. So as we see those things, there are a few ways that can help us think about family or home worship, depending on our life situation. I have actually written all these out, and actually most of these were written by Pastor Brandon, so you can thank him for them. And you can get these at the end of service, so you can jot down the titles if you want, but all this is written out, and you can get it in the blue handout at the end of service called Five Ways to Bring Worship into Your Home and Strengthen His Kingdom Mission in Your Heart. So that's yours. You don't have to write all that out. So, since there's no substitute for worship at home, what are some ways we can do it? Well, we've just talked about one. Go around giving thanks. So let's get together as a family. Usually, you choose what time or day that works. And what you're going to see us proposing is, while I think there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength to doing it every day, what we want to do is at least once a week, let's start having a moment like this as a family. And let's just take a moment. Let's maybe read a scripture or something that's on our heart. And let's go around and pray some prayers of thanksgiving. Because sometimes, I tell you, one of the things that I'll always remember about my trip in Ethiopia was we were all sitting there and we would do something like this. And my son, who was 8 years old, would pray prayers. I was like, dude, I had no idea you were thinking that or even noticed that. And I would have never understood it unless he prayed it. And so what I did in that was we just say words of prayer. We begin to encourage each other and remind each other of what to be thankful for. Number two, well, obviously there's Thanksgiving prayers, and the other one is praise prayers. It's just the idea of let's go around. Maybe we read a scripture like Psalm 19:68 that says, God, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. And then we each pray a prayer that says, God, I want to praise you for being good. And so instead of starting out with just, God, thank you for letting me have a good day at school. You know, thanks for letting my boss be on vacation and not in the office. You know, whatever. I mean, you could pray that prayer. All my staff saying, amen, hallelujah. They loved the last 5 weeks. That was beautiful. But we want to not just think about what God said. First, we want to say, Lord, thank you for being good to people right now in Ethiopia, in the midst of our nation that I'm so worried about. Thank you for being good. Let me praise you for who you are. You're still good in all of this. You're still faithful. So we can say those prayers. Really easy to do. And literally, let's just go around a few times and just praise God for who he is. Number three is family communion. Now, this one's interesting because depending on the tradition you're in, some of you may be like, and may be totally right. It's like, hey, communion's an ordinance of the church, which is absolutely true. But part of the church is the home. And so I don't know if you've ever thought about it, and especially like, you know, my wife came out of the Catholic background, so this concept would be super, you know, whoa, what's going on? But it's the idea of taking time together as a family to remember what he's done for us. And we actually have in the sheet there, we actually have the scripture that reminds you, the scripture you read, and then the words you say. And obviously it doesn't matter if you get them exactly right, but there's the main idea right there. Lord, we're going to take communion this morning. And so, Lord, thank you for the body of Christ that's broken for me. And God, I could use a lot of really religious words, but thank you that I am completely loved. There was nothing you didn't sacrifice for our salvation. You just say it and lead your family in it or lead yourself in it. Take the cup, represents the blood of Christ shed for you on the cross. Lord, thank you that I'm fully forgiven today as I confess my sin unto you. So really easy ideas. You can do that as a family. And then you can do as we're using today, use the book of Psalms. It's a worship book. And I think especially if you're the only Christian in your home or if you live by yourself, I think the Psalms are probably a really terrific place to rely on home worship. Because there you can just echo and repeat and share the worship of the Psalms back to God and be a tremendous blessing. And then the last one, and we chose it last, you could sing. You know, you could lift your voice. And whether you're on YouTube or whether you got your favorite worship CD or whether it's on your iTunes account or wherever you are, you could sing along with it and just allow to do it. I want to encourage you, and it's a conversation we had in our family, and I need to say to you, you know, I just spent last week talking about the joy of being the Great Commission. This is probably the area I feel like I've missed, that I didn't do a good job of at home, leading my family in home worship. And my issue was, well, you know, I'm not like a real confident singer in front of people, and that's kind of different for me. And so singing might not necessarily be the way to accomplish it. I think we still don't want to substitute for it. But, so one of the things, we're talking about this as a family in my home, and I have 8 years old to 18, and it was like, you know, Kate's playing the keyboard for the worship team. Why don't we let her be our worship leader at home? And all of a sudden, this brand new thought. I was like, yeah, my kid is playing an instrument. Yeah, maybe we could use that some. And whether it is them actually playing, or whether it is, if you're in the parenting setting, those years, you could have the kids choose the songs and them get all the worship ready. Here are the one, two songs. Doesn't have to be long. But the idea of involving the family and nurturing that, I would say, probably out of those things I just shared with you, probably my biggest regret as a parent in home worship is not while the kids were young, making vocal worship, singing worship, just the normal thing, so that by the time we got older, they didn't notice how well or not well I sung. They just were used to it, right? So I do want to say, if you are a young parent, of young children, whether you sing or not, I would make this just a hallmark of your home. I just start to do it, because if they grow up with it, they'll never know. You know, they'll never know how good or bad you are. So that's one of the ways to do it. Now, I just want to recognize, again, this issue of some final thoughts, and then we're going to do some home worship this morning. That's what we're going to do. So first of all, you probably want to start having some family meals together, right? Just start working on getting together a little bit more as a family. So if you're going to do home worship, you do it. Now, I've got 18 to 8, and since my daughter's going off to college, I'm about to lose one of our drivers, which makes us even busier in taking kids every place. So this is not easy. But I'll encourage you, it's very, very important in the home to eat together. Spend time together as a family. And of course, I don't think I should have to say this, but, you know, no iPads, smartphones, or tablets at the table. You know, that's just, go put it away. We're all going to actually look at each other and try to find something to talk about. And so if we do that, and one of the things we have to say about all this is, it's, you know, depending on your family dynamics, it may be a little awkward in the beginning, any of these suggestions. You know, there are lots of things like giving your book report in front of class, or learning that new job and being around those new people. Or, I mean, awkward is not a sign of don't do it. It just means you're going to have to grow and become comfortable with something that hasn't been part of your pattern for a while. Number two, I've touched on this a few times, invite, don't demand others to enter into worship. Praise God right now and have a thankful heart. Yeah, that's not going to work. So don't be rigid. Don't be angry when people aren't focused or very interested. That's kind of defeating the purpose. Your kids, you know, if you're in the parent stage, your kids are not going to look forward to worship time if it's the time that my parents get frustrated with me, right? So we want to invite them into worship time and learn to, when we were on our family missions trip and we were doing family devotions every day, and I discovered, you ever say something really negative because everybody's being so negative? You ever do that? I realized I was doing that. I'm like, this is not helping. This is not the way we turn the negativity into positive, by me being as negative about them being negative. So I really had to challenge myself. Sean, say something encouraging, you know? Say something that kind of encourages everybody back to it. Compliment and encourage. So my particular dynamic in my life stage is my kids have 1,000 things they want to talk about, and none of them want to talk about the same thing. So as we start family worship or family devotions, it's like, she's talking about this, and he wants to talk about that, and why did you break that, and where is it? And, you know, I mean, all things are going on in my house, and I have to just not get, oh, come on, cut it out and let's worship. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's too fine. Okay, hey, you know, why don't we take all this and we'll take a moment to pray. I mean, I have to try to bring it in without demanding it. I can be firm in moving towards it, but I don't want to create something rigid or angry. There's no point to that. Now, number three is my favorite piece of advice, okay? The first time you use home worship to recognize a mistake you have made will be the last time others think that that time is worthless. And they're going to be praying for home worship. Yeah, like, oh, Lord, please change my dad's attitude. Let's get to home worship and hopefully recognize the error of his ways, right? So if you will use it and be the first one to get a little humble during family worship, everybody else is going to love it. Because that's going to be like, praise the Lord for that. That's like my saving grace. Let's just get to home worship and hopefully everybody will kind of figure out we've all had bad attitudes this week. That's what we want to do. So if you use it, everybody will value it. And then, of course, the goal is his life-giving presence. I'm going to invite the Hacketts up and the Kings up on stage if they join me because we're going to take a moment to do it. By the way, these are super trendy home couches that, all of us have. This is our family room. And this past week, we were finishing up a... can I have that mic, Pastor Travis, too? Chuck and Deborah, you want to come on up? Last week, we were finishing up our book that we're reading. That's one of our ways. And just so you know, we're focusing on worship. We're also going to talk about the idea a little bit more specifically about reading the Bible or some other things. But we really want to encourage the actual practice of worship of God in our homes. So this past week, like I said, this is not our strong suit in my family. And so we were doing more of reading Bible study kind of time. And as at dinner time, and I said, hey guys, let's finish our book, which ironically is called Unfinished, is the name of the book. And we're trying to finish it. So you should catch the irony of that. So we're down there and my wife was, Sean, I'm glad we're going to do devotions, but I still want the kids to do their chores, and I'm not interested in doing devotions, and I'm left all with dirty dishes, right? So I was like, okay, yeah, well, they could do their chores first, and then we'll come down there. So two or three of us are hanging out because we don't have those ones to do. And, I want it to be a time. It wasn't something everybody thought of, a little like, damn, I don't know, we've got time, I haven't read, da-da-da. I said, come on down. And so we got down to our family room, and I decided, and we started chatting a little bit. We're kind of talking about fun things. I was like, hey, this is good. People are kind of like, this is stuff. So the introduction to family worship for us, and Patrick was there, so he knows what I did, was we could get on our YouTube, on our TV. We actually watched America's Got Talent, the professional regurgitator, the guy who brings stuff up. It was super gross. You don't want to see it. But everybody was laughing, and we kind of did it because we're waiting for people. We're just kind of like, I wasn't letting it get too far off to the side. I mean, nothing wrong, but just like, that was gross, but it was kind of okay, and we're all laughing about it. It's just like, hey, this is a nice atmosphere. So I didn't just yank it into worship. We joked about that for a while. Everybody was down, and then we kind of, there wasn't a clean segue from that to worship, right? But the whole idea was I didn't get all uptight about it, just kind of like, hey, this feels like life. People are enjoying being, we're laughing together, that's a good thing. You know what, this is what God does. So let's just kind of, let's lean into that. Let's not just dismiss it. Now let's kind of get into moment worship. And we got it, and we showed a YouTube video at the end that kind of really, at least for me, really brought us into worship. And by the end of it, we had done that. And I don't even know that, I don't think my kids would even say that was much of a devotional moment, but it's like, I think we all love God a little bit more. I think we love each other a little bit more. This is really good. So that's what we're after. So we're going to take a few moments. And sorry to jam you all on that couch over there. But I'm going to ask the ushers, if they would, just to get ready for communion. If the ushers just want to get ready, and if you just be in the back. But let's take a moment, and let's just do it like we would do at home. Let's get on the couch. And I'm going to invite you to just join us as we're going to go around and say a few prayers of thanksgiving. That's all we're going to do right now. And feel free, as we're praying, to say a few of your own silently as we do it together. So, Terry, you want to start off, and we'll just go. go there. When the mic gets there, you got to do the hand back, okay? But I'm going to go too. So, Chuck, after you, I go, okay? You literally do that at home. Sometimes you have to explain how this is going to work, right? Except you don't need a microphone, unless that's your thing. So then feel free to use it. So, Terry, you want to start us off? And let's take a few moments to give thanks for his goodness and for even what he's calling us to today.
Lord, I thank you that when I awoke this morning, I looked around my room and I was thankful for the home that you've given me. Mm-hmm. I thank you because I felt safe and secure. And it was a reminder that you are my shelter, you are my refuge, and I thank you that you are my security.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you're a keeper of promises, that you are faithful. Lord, that you've even given us your word that shows how you've kept promises throughout time to others, and that you will be faithful to me.
Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the Alpha, the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Lord, I thank you that you said that you would never leave us or forsake us. Mm-hmm. I praise you.
Father, I thank you that when the power went out in the middle of the night, it was Deborah who got up and found the power company. And Lord, when I woke this morning, the power was back and everything was working. And thank you, Father, that you just reminded me that you're the source of the power and you're always ensuring that it flows freely to us.
Lord, thank you for a great Saturday with my family and the time we got to spend together and the joy I have in who they are. Thank you for that, Lord.
Lord, thank you for my wife and the life we share together and the relationship we have. I thank you that you are a relational God and that you desire relationship and intimacy with us and you desire to walk through life with us. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that you're a mighty warrior, that when we get weary of fighting the fight, Lord, that you are there to encourage us and that you're the one that's leading us into battle. And Lord, that you are the ultimate victor, that we know the end of the story. We will be with you.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that you put your angels in charge over us, Lord, to watch over us and to protect us, lest we dash our foot against a stone, Lord. Thank you that your eye is always upon us, Lord, and mm-hmm. that you've placed us in the families where we are. And I thank you, Lord, that I was raised by a Christian mother and father, Lord, and that you heard their prayers over my life, Lord. And I thank you for a husband, Lord, that prays for me faithfully, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for him.
Father, I thank you for the songs that you drop into our souls and spirits, Lord. Things that we haven't thought about for years, Lord. Child. Just seem to express our thankfulness to you, Lord. Thank you for that you have a million songs in heaven, sharing them with us.
Lord, thank you for our friends, even as Sarah and I were talking about, especially the single moms that are friends that we just admire, and we see them, Lord, doing so much, and Father, the joy in the way they serve. We thank you for them, and Lord, we thank you for their example.
Lord, I thank you for simple things like the CD player in my car. Lord, I love listening to the music, and I thank you that you are a musical God. You tell us to offer praise to you through singing and playing of instruments, and when we get to heaven, it will be full of music. Thank you for your gift of music.
Lord, I thank you for the beauty of creation. Lord, that you are the ultimate artist, that you paint sunsets and create fields of flowers, bubbling brooks, and Lord, you created color and light and imagination, Lord.
Lord, thank you that you said that the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered by you. Lord, I thank you that you have brought me to this place where I am today, Lord. Your eye has always been upon me, Lord. You have protected me so many times and in so many ways, Lord. I won't even know until the day I meet you face to face, truly, how marvelous you are and the things that you've done in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, because you're worthy of praise, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We praise you.
Father, I thank you for the divine serendipities that you drop into our lives, chance encounters you plan for us, Lord. I thank you for the people that turn up in our home, Lord, get to know. Thank you for the neighbors that share their lives with us, Lord. Just thank you for using us, Lord, and allowing us just to be blessed to know that you have made us an instrument to just express your care and love to different people.
And Father, we take a moment to be thankful for what you're yet to do, because you're faithful tomorrow too. God, if there's any place that we're not thankful, place we're missing what faith looks like, we just pray that you strengthen our hearts. Jesus, always be welcomed in our home and keep us thankful for what you have done for us, and knowing that you're not done. There's so much more to come, and we have the gift of being together as a family to see it happen. We love you and we praise you. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you.
Those are terrific moments as we just let God speak to our hearts and speak of things that keep each other thankful. I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon if he'd come up and just lead us in a real simple chorus as the elders distribute communion. So will you take a moment and stand where you are, and let's give thanks and praise to the Lord.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, came amazing grace. Thank you for this love. Your cleansing flow, now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, darling of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
We're going to take communion together for a moment, and then finish up with the Father too, and the Lord's Prayer and the prayer for the harvest that the Lord called us to. I want to encourage you as we come to this. So I think the goal for this week, and you can talk about it as you go home or once you're at lunch today, is what's 15 minutes we could reserve this week sometime, talk about your schedules, that we could have some home worship. And then, if someone particularly liked a certain way, if you're dealing with more than just you in that decision for home worship, well, which way did you like? Well, let's do that way. And either they can lead it or you can, and you'll see all those suggestions on the blue sheet on the way back. So I want to encourage you to, as a household, if it's just you, if it's just you and your spouse, or you and roommates, or if it's kids, decide on the time this week to have family worship. And when you finish the worship, you know, there are days we do it. It doesn't feel all that awe-inspiring. And it's just like, hey, that was great, we did that. Now what do we need to do next? And we just let God breathe life into it and enjoy that we get that chance to be together as a family. And so with that, here is one of the things, as we want to remember that on the night before, the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body, it's broken for you. God himself was willing to be broken for you. You're completely loved. There is no sacrifice that God has not made for your peace and your joy and for your future. So would you take a moment in your hearts to give thanks before we partake together? Lord, thank you for this body that was broken for us. Thank you for your sacrifice and the way that you have showed your love. We never need to doubt how much you love us. Would you take now and eat the body broken for you with thanksgiving in your heart? Would you take the cup? Thank you, Lord, that there is forgiveness in you all the time. Lord, help us not to be afraid to own up to our sin. Sometimes it hurts so much to confess and to even think about what we've done wrong that we hide it and we bottle it up. But God, today we want to just come to you knowing that because we hold this cup, we can be forgiven. We are forgiven as we bring it to you. And even though it's painful to recognize how we've sinned and been wrong, Lord, we confess our sins to you today. For in you there is full and unending forgiveness. And we are so thankful that you shed your blood on the cross as a sacrifice. You gave your life to take away our death. And we're thankful for that. Would you take now and drink the blood of Christ that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins? Thank you, Lord. Would you take a moment just to allow that true forgiveness to be applied to all of your heart? As you do that, Stephen AV, I'm going to ask you to get that video ready as a little, I'm going to give you a little gift at the end of our prayer today. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer right now. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask you to send out workers into your harvest field and cause us to go also and give you glory. As you live out those prayers and as you consider family worship, here's a little gift because you've been such a great congregation this morning. You got to turn it on. Go for it. The Baldwins, family worship at the end of the night.
Holy, holy,
as perfect as family worship is.
Morning, our song shall rise to only thou, my home, merciful and mighty God in three persons.
There it is in all its glory. God bless you as you go. Five ways to bring worship in your home. It's right here at the back. It's also in the Connection Center. I encourage you to take one.
With a grace so glorious.